Despite the best efforts of the Abbott government to keep the focus on global growth and jobs, climate change did muscle its way to the forefront of the G20 leaders' meeting in Brisbane over the weekend. The final communique committed all member countries to take strong and effective action to address global warming and recommended contribution to the UN's Green Climate Fund, which the Prime Minister has previously described as, quote, socialism masquerading as environmentalism. The wording was only agreed to, we're told, after line-by-line negotiations, which one EU official described as trench warfare. In a closed-door session, the Prime Minister reportedly stood up for coal, and the US President Barack Obama is said to have spoken forcefully against Tony Abbott's support for fossil fuels. This all came after the US President's speech to students at the University of Queensland, where he was directly calling on Australians to do more to reduce damaging carbon emissions.
And if China and the United States can agree on this, then the world can agree on this. We can get this done, and it is necessary for us to get it done. Because I have not had time to go to the Great Barrier Reef, and I want to come back, and I want my daughters to be able to come back, and I want them to be able to bring their daughters or sons to visit. And I want that there 50 years from now.
US President Barack Obama. Well, the opposition leader Bill Shorten says the president's intervention on the weekend is, quote, a game changer for climate change politics in this country.
Taking a little bit of license, there was a lot of talk about shirt fronting coming up to this G20. It would appear that in the nicest and most articulate way, Barack Obama has shirt fronted Tony Abbott and said, come on, Australia, lift your game.
Opposition leader Bill Shorten. And in a moment, we'll wrap up the G20 with Michelle Grattan and Mark Kenny, who were both there over the weekend in Brisbane for the summit. But first, we're joined by the Federal Environment Minister, Greg Hunt. Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Minister, over the weekend, as we heard, the US President issued a rallying cry to young Australians to demand more action on climate change here in Australia. Now, WA Premier Colin Barnett has endorsed the President. The West Australian newspaper quotes the WA Premier saying, we need to be bolder in our emissions targets. Will you heed his calls?
Well, in fact, we have just passed a $2.5 billion climate fund, which, if that were in the US economy on a like-for-like basis, that would be roughly a $25 billion fund for the US to match. We've just passed one of the most significant pieces of climate legislation in Australian history. We're reducing emissions without a tax. We would urge Bill Shorten to support rather than reject the investment that we're making. If he's saying he wants to bring back an electricity tax and then to rise the level of that tax, that's a matter for him, but the Australian people will judge it. But right now, only 2 weeks ago, we have just passed some of the most significant legislation in Australia's history. We invest, they want to raise taxes. You know, for them, they see climate change as a revenue opportunity. We see it as a duty to invest in practical things.
With respect, though, Minister, you keep using terms to describe the direct action policy as significant, one of the most ambitious packages, and yet here's the WA Premier, who's a Liberal Premier to boot, from a resource-rich state, saying this is a call to arms, we need to lift our game. He's not convinced that direct action is as ambitious as you suggest.
Well, it's a very strange situation here, and I don't in any way except the way that you have characterised Premier Barnett's comments.
They were direct quotes, a call to arms for all of us to lift our game. That's a direct quote.
But you just said that he reflected on the direct action program.
Well, he's suggesting we need to do more. We need to lift our game.
Did he reflect on the direct action program?
I have no idea, but he said we need to lift our game.
The point I was making was that
he was looking at what we're currently doing and said we need to lift our game.
So you attributed something to him which he didn't say, and you now have to concede that, yes?
Oh, all right, Minister, I'm happy to concede that. What I'm going to you and asking you is, do you agree we need to lift our game?
Well, we are doing more. We have said we'll also consider the post-2020 period, but let's be frank about what Australia has done. Of all of the countries who were part of the first Kyoto Protocol period, there are very few that not only met their targets but exceeded them by 6%. So we achieved our targets and then we beat them by 6%. Other countries made pledges and then failed to meet them. So in the real world, we not only met our targets, We exceeded them by a very significant amount, 130 million tonnes better than we had pledged to the world that we can and should do. And that I think, is the only thing that the atmosphere experiences, actual emissions levels. During the same period, what we see is that the United States emissions went from almost 5.4 billion to just over 5.9 billion tonnes, and China's emissions from 1990 to 2010 went from 3.3 billion to 9.7 billion tonnes. Now, this isn't being critical at all. This is a reality of the way the two largest economies in the world have operated. But during that period, we achieved our targets, we beat our targets, we banked an extra 130 million tonnes on behalf of the planet, and now we've just invested one of the largest sums in Australian history, and by a global comparative basis, something of great significance.
But there's no doubt that this is a story which needs continuing action, as noted by the IPCC report just a week or two ago. And in the real world, the US and China have now announced lifting future action on their parts, the US announcing it will cut emissions by 28% of 2005 levels by 2025. Can you tell us whether Australia will go near to matching that commitment?
Well, the first thing is, if you look at this in two halves, pre-2020 and post-2020.
But I'm looking at post. We know what our 2020 target is, and we're agreed on that. It's 5%.
No, it's not actually. If you use the same basis as the United States, 2005 to 2020, the US is minus 17, we're minus 12%.
Okay.
If you use the full Kyoto period of 1990 to 2020, the US is minus 5% and Australia is almost exactly the same.
But if you use the current target announced by the US of 26% of 2005 levels by 2025, scientists and economists agree that works out to about a 28% cut to emissions by Australia. Do you accept that?
Well, I think what we'll find is that we have committed to being part of, and I deeply embrace the process of being part of the Paris conference at the end of next year. Julie Bishop will be leading Australia at Lima, which is the predecessor conference, or the next step in only a few weeks. Only last week, we held and hosted and brought together an Asia-Pacific Rainforest Summit aimed at protecting the great forests of the region, which is about making a real contribution to reducing emissions in our own region, with Australia as the global lead country. As we go into next year, of course we're going to be part of that process, and of course we'll set targets in relation to the post-2020 period on exactly the time frame we always said we would. Jane Goodall.
Which is the first quarter of next year? Will we meet that timetable?
We are setting targets in the first part of next year. I won't put a specific date on it today. We've always said that we'd do that next year. We've never deviated from that. We will do that. Jane Goodall, one of the world's great conservationists, in addressing the Rainforest Summit via video last week, said that there's nothing that the world could do that is a faster, more successful way of helping reduce emissions than protecting the great forests, as well as protecting the biological arcs of our region and other regions. And there's Australia, of all the countries in the world, right at the forefront. This is an incredibly important role. So we are leading the world in rainforest protection. We're leading the world in terms of the things that can reduce emissions from fossil fuels by helping to clean up the power station, something which, by the way, was at the centre of the US-China deal, where they talked about steps to clean up coal-fired power stations.
Will we need, just on that front, Minister, will we need to close down some coal-fired power stations in order to lift our cut in emissions? I noticed over the weekend the Prime Minister declaring to the G20 leaders he was there to stand up for coal. At the same time as Australia is exporting record amounts of coal, or preparing to export record amounts of coal, will we be needing necessarily to close down some coal-fired power stations?
Well, look, that's not our proposal. What we're focused on is whatever will deliver the cheapest, fastest emissions reductions for Australia. So only last Friday, we released new methods for the Emissions Reduction Fund for large-scale energy efficiency for households on a grand scale. It could be 10,000 or 100,000 households together. Large-scale commercial and industrial energy efficiency right across our factories and cleaning them up. We will also be looking at how we clean up our power stations.
Okay.
I know in relation to the Emissions Reduction Fund, the power stations themselves are looking very seriously at how they reduce our emissions. And this is as opposed to a Labor Party which gave, although the left never talks about, gave $5.5 billion to the Great Victorian brown coal power stations. Mm. It's an incredible thing. They literally gave away $5.5 billion to keep these brown coal power stations running.
All right, Minister. I'm just trying to move forward because I'm almost out of time. Just on the other element of the G20 communique, there was a reference to the Green Climate Fund. It said, we reaffirm our support for mobilising finance for adaptation and mitigation, such as the Green Climate Fund. Now, will Australia contribute to the Green Climate Fund? This is the fund that the Prime Minister once described as socialism masquerading as environmentalism.
Well, firstly, as I say, we just contributed $2.5 billion to reducing emissions at home.
No, but I understand that, but this is a global outlook. Will we do that?
To a variety of international measures. And only last week, I announced and we delivered funding for the regional approach to reducing emissions through protecting forests. So we are focusing internationally.
But that's a no on the Green Climate Fund, is it?
There are a variety of mechanisms. I know Mr. Shorten is opposed to investing in reducing emissions in Australia and wants to write a...
With respect, Minister, I'm not talking about Bill Shorten. I'm talking about what Ban Ki-moon has called on all the G20 nations to do. Is Australia of a mind to do that or not?
Look, our approach has been to focus primarily domestically, but just last week, and for some reason the ALP and some on the left choose to ignore it, we contributed, we led an international approach where we provided funding for reducing deforestation in our region.
Greg Hunt, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thanks very much, Fran.
Greg Hunt is the Federal Environment Minister. It's 11 minutes to 8.